It's always a blessing when we can come up. And it's also a great blessing to our children when they come up here to serve and they've been trained. So that's a lot of good stories and testimonies in our church through those years. That's why we would like to come as much as possible. And Brother Eddie was very kind. He said, I can speak only 5 minutes if I want to, or 10 or any time later.
I said 50.
5 or 50.
Five or 50.
Look at
funny
time.
Yeah, I'll try. Yesterday, when Brother Charles started to preach, he said that he asked your bearing of his English. And we know that he wrote an English book, and he asked for bearing of his English. And I'm the pastor of a Chinese church. I only preach in Chinese. So I don't know what I should ask you. I only can hope you have greater patience with me, and I will speak slowly so you can have time to guess what I'm saying. And also I can have some time to translate the Chinese into English. Now, for the last few days, we heard Brother Eddie talk about the abiding and the fruit-bearing life. And that's John chapter 15. And this is a great blessing. This great God, this glorious God, he came down to this earth and right now abiding in us. That's all because Jesus has finished his salvation. He accomplished the salvation for us and is part of his salvation. He died on the cross, so brought us back. He died and he raised again, and he ascended to God, and God glorified him, asked him to sit next to himself on his right-hand side. And then the Father, by his promise, he sent the Holy Spirit to this earth. Through the sending of the Holy Spirit, God can come down to this earth and abide within these human beings, the believers. This is a mystery. It's really something we could not understand, but that's what God prepared for us, for every one of us today. Through the Holy Spirit, God dwells in us. And there is this abiding. That's what John chapter 15 is talking about. The Christ is the vine, we are the branches. So there is a connection, there's a union. We in Christ and Christ in us. This is a mystery, yes. But through this union, we can bear fruit and to glorify God. And this is a reality. Or this is a position of speaking. Every Christian has already reached this position. But somehow in experience, sometimes we do not have enough fruits. We don't see that many fruits in our lives. We wonder why, what happened. So after I was here those days, I started to look at John chapter 14. I tried to see maybe there's some hint for us to follow, that we can have this abiding, fruit-bearing life to glorify God. There are two teachings Jesus taught in chapter 14 I'd like to bring up this morning so we can share and we can enter in. One is the promise the Holy Spirit will come to us, which means that he will fill us with the Holy Spirit. Another thing is for us to obey his commandments. So those two things is what Jesus wanted us to get into, and then we can live an abiding life and a fruit-bearing life. So we want to first start with John chapter 14. We can read a couple verses from the John 14. The first one is John 14, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Another verse, that's verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So here, Jesus told us that we need to obey his commandments. By obeying his commandments, coming from our love to himself, this loving obedience will bring down some benefits in our lives. And the first one is that if we obey his commandments, it means that we love him. Many times we sing songs, we say we love you, we love Jesus, and we do. In our spirit, in our truth, we do love him. In our feelings, we also love him. In our heart, we love him. But here's another way. When we obey his commandments, he will treat that as a love he received from us. It's a very practical thing. So that's God's blessing. Sometimes I feel God really loves us. He wants us to have a way to love him, that he will recognize this as our love to him. And then the next one is, Jesus will love us, and God will love us too. So the divine love will come to us. That's what the love fellowship, the love communion starts. God's love comes to us, our love goes to him. So there's a fellowship, there's communion. And this is such a wonderful loving relationship between us and God while we are obeying his commandments. And there's another thing, that while we obey his commandments, Jesus will manifest himself to us. He will show himself to us. He will make himself known by us. Like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that the spirit of wisdom and the revelation will help him to know Jesus. That's our prayer too. We know without the Holy Spirit we will not know Jesus. We cannot know him. But here, there's another way. While we practically obey his commandments, Jesus will reveal himself to us in a practical way, that he will show himself to us. So he is so real. It's not something that in our knowledge anymore. It's a relationship. Start to build. I think when we obey his commandment, when we obey him, during the process, we can understand Jesus more. We can really know his nature, his life, and what he can do and who he is. That's a benefit we receive when we obey his commandments. But there's another benefit. Jesus will come to us, and God, our Father, will come to us, and they will make abode with us, which means he will make a home with us, which means he will come to our hearts, he will set his presence in us, and he will come to live in us. Sometimes we know this teaching, but many times we treated God or Christ Jesus like a guest, like a hotel sometimes in my heart. Sometimes Jesus come, I invite you come for a short visit, and then they go to the attic. And the house still under my control. I'm still the head of the house. I decide everything. I do whatever I want. But here, when we obey His commandments, God and Christ, His Son, will come into our heart, make this His home, which means He will stay in my master bedroom. He will stay in the living room and give orders. So that's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that by faith that Christ can abide in us. This abide is long staying. It's not a short visit. So that's the prayer we want to pray, that God, Christ, and they will come and stay, long stay. Stay in my heart as His home. I want to make Him feel at home. I want Him to be the master of my heart. I want Him to be the head of my house, the temple, the house. So this is another good benefit while we obeying His commandments. Then there's another one. Brother Eddie talked about that one day in the table worship, that when we obey His commandments, He will treat us as His friends, which means He will not hide anything from us. He will show His heart to us. He will know everything happens to us. We're going to walk together. We're going to talk with one another. There's a loving relationship. There's a friendship with Jesus. And this is such a wonderful thing. And He will not hide anything from us. And He will know us, and we will know Him. So through this process, really, there are so many blessings and benefits that God will give to us. And talk about the friendship, or He will not hide anything. Maybe I wanted to make just one quick testimony. A few years ago, we had a regular morning meeting Sunday. After all the things been taken care of in church, then we need to have our lunch. So it's about 3 o'clock. So we went to a restaurant, tried to treat ourselves. And while we were waiting in line, and then we're reading the menus too. And then there's moving in my heart, go to visit the Sister Fetty. For a while we didn't hear about her condition. But at that instance, this thought came in. So I asked my wife, shall we go? So let's go. So we just dropped the menu, then we drove 2 hours to Bowling Green. And there, in the hospital, she is at the last hour. So within an hour, she went to be with the Lord. We had a chance to pray with her and speak few words with her. And while they were taking care of the other things, we could take care of Brother Fetty, because at that time he was not be able to handle himself. That's why we've been there. God sent us. We don't know how soon a person will die, his life will be ended, but as we always obey Him in every step of life, He will show us something we don't know. He will not hide that. So recently the same thing happened. One of our brother who was baptized at the Easter, and a few months later, and he had a cancer, so he was hospitalized. And the same thing happened in the morning. We have morning worship, and in the afternoon we had an afternoon meeting. After the meeting, it's about 5 o'clock, and I was kind of tired. My heart was kind of getting weaker. And because of the business of the weekend, so we went to see him on Saturday morning. And we prayed for him, and we talked to him. And then we had a church picnic the whole day, and the Sunday whole day. So we said we should go home and take a rest. Before we turned to left, another way to go home, there's moving. There's something coming up. Go to see our brother. His last name is Dai. To see Brother Dai. Really, that time was tired. But we say, sure. As soon as the Lord says so, we go. Then we turned the other way. We went to the hospital. As soon as we got there, we knew that the brother is at the last hour too. The family needs minister. The people there don't know what to do. So we came there, we went there and prayed with him again, and I talked to him, and he still opened his eyes. So for a few minutes, then his daughter came in for 20 minutes along with him, then his wife and so forth. Within 1 hour, God took him home too. So all those things happened in our life, every daily life, all in our ministry, all at our work. There are so many testimonies from my work. I don't think I have time to go back. But there's the friendship. And he will show us what in his mind. As long as we start to take the step, obey him. Obey him. I think in the Old Testament, that Ezekiel, they talk about God will give us a new spirit. This spirit within us will cause us or move us to obey him, obey his commandments or his judgments and so forth. So this, the Holy Spirit will initiate this in our heart, want us to obey him. And then the Bible also talk about the Holy Spirit in us, or Christ lives in us. There is a power within each one of us. This is the power of God. This power is so great. So Paul used different words to describe that. It's immeasurable and it's so great words. I don't remember them. But this power in us, it's not of ourselves. It's from God. And as long as we wanted to obey him, the power will come through us and make us to finish what God wanted us to obey. So the obeying himself, the loving obedience started with the Holy Spirit and will be finished by the Holy Spirit. In between, that's our responsibility. If I want to make the choice to obey him, then it will happen. We can also not to obey what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, or what the words written here is so clear that we need to do, then we cannot really live an abiding life. We don't experience those benefits God provided for us. So we wanted to obey him. We have to surrender ourselves to him. Just say, yes, Lord. I say yes. I say yes. That's a simple song. But that's such a blessing afterwards. So this is the first thing I like to talk about the benefits of we obey his commandment. Also, every time we obey him, every small obedience to the Spirit, or to the Lord, or to his word, that's all included. Then there's a victory in God's kingdom. I feel that every small step of obedience, we glorify God. We win a victory in God's kingdom, for God's kingdom. Because there's always the two kingdoms, or there's always two opposite forces going on, but they cannot go on together, either or. It's always exclusive. If we are in the light, we are not in the darkness. If we are in the Holy Spirit, we are not in the evil spirit. If we are in God's presence, we are not in the devil's presence. So there's a choice we have to make every day on everything. When we choose this way, then there's victory. Then there's glory to God. If we take this way, we disgrace God. And there's defeat. We will not feel happy. We will feel sorry. We'll be done. So there's a choice we have to make every day. And in nowadays, we heard a lot of teaching or practice that to deliver a person from different habits or addictions. And if somebody had some problem with adultery or maybe hatred and forgiveness or whatever those things, and they will use some process to deliver this person. And once there was a couple came to our church, and they have visited different churches around our area. Then after a couple weeks, they told us that they sensed the Spirit in our midst, and He sensed God's presence in our church meetings. So they said that we wanted to join your church. So the following week, we went pay a visit to their house. And during the visit, they shared their past experience. They used to do the power deliverance type of thing, the ministry. And they brought up a big book, a binder, that's kind of a manual. Every symptom, every problem a Christian has, there's a chapter, there are steps listed of what you should do. So if you have problem with drinking, maybe, I don't know. So you go to that chapter, it tells you 1, 2, 3, 4, what to do. And I find out that there are a couple of things in this so-called, I don't know what they call it, they call it inner healing or power deliverance or whatever, to help the Christians. There are a couple of things I noticed because I was reading Wisdom, some of the things. And one is, every bad thing, there is an evil spirit behind that. And every problem we have, a Christian has, you can trace back to your childhood, or to your parents, or to your ancestors, the second. Third, they wanted to cast this thing out. And the evidence of this evil spirit is come out from you, they will induce some vomit, some throw-ups. Something will come out from you, and that's the evil spirit. So afterwards, they said, we'd like to volunteer ourselves to start a deliverance ministry in your church. I said, no, right away I said, no, that's not our way. I said, first, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is in my heart, there's no vacancy for you. There's no place for the evil spirit to come in. So I don't believe I can have both Holy Spirit and the evil spirits in my heart. Second, those so-called cut ties and so forth, I say I don't understand that because I cannot see it from the Bible. Whatever in the past, it's already crucified with Christ and buried. I'm the new man. I'm the new creation in God. So everything is new. Why should I go back to try to connect myself with the past? If that's the case, everybody should trace to Adam. So I don't need to cut that again. So third, you threw up those things. I said, no, we don't do that. What we do is, we want to stay in the presence of God. We will obey the Holy Spirit. We wanted to follow the Holy Spirit. We want to walk in the Holy Spirit. As long as we are in His presence, the other thing cannot come in. So we do not pay too much attention to those bad things, the negative things, and it is already been defeated by Christ. I don't want to go back to this again. So we don't pay attention to that. We're just positively seeking God's presence in us and His Spirit and His life live out through us. Then we should be okay. And this happened in our church for different cases, and that's true. So somebody tried to go other ways to invite the people to show them how to get a deliverance. They use dancing in the Lord, and they we don't want to go into that. But finally, when they understand this inner way, the Christ abide in us, this truth, and started to live this life by faith. Slowly, gradually, this person being changed. The things will just disappear. So that's the way we get our deliverance. But we have to obey Him. We have to take the step to go His way. And then we can enter into victory. So this is the first point I want to bring up, that we need to obey His word, which means we wanted to obey Him. Either the Holy Spirit in us, or Christ in us, or His word here, whatever, that's all included. We just want to obey Him. Second thing we need to do is we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Continuously be filled by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, we all know that verse, that there is a commandment for the Christians to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, which means we wanted to be continuously be filled by the Holy Spirit. That's a command. That's a commandment from God. We wanted to obey that. But the next question is, how do I do it? How can I be filled by the Holy Spirit? Then I found out that whenever God gives us a commandment, He always gives us ways to meet that. So that's what happens in this case. When God asks us to be filled continuously by His Holy Spirit, He shows us how to. And that's in John chapter 7. I think we all know that verses. During the last day of the feast and so forth. In that verse, Jesus told us how to be continuously be filled by the Holy Spirit. There are four, maybe we want to read that, John chapter 7. I think this helps me a lot. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Usually people just think, I think at one time one of the pastors I was talking to, he said, "Why you guys want to seek the Lord and ask Him for the Holy Spirit to fill you? The Holy Spirit has personality. He is a person." I said, "Yes, I agree." He said, "As soon as the person comes into your heart, he's there." I said, "I agree too." "Then why do you want to still seeking to be filled more by him? Can a person be changed?" They think that the person of the Holy Spirit either exists in me or not exists. But I say yes in a way, but in another way, the Bible taught us to be filled more and more. In Acts, we see the disciples being filled not only once. Peter or Paul, they've been filled at different times. And in Jesus' teaching, God gives the Spirit without measure. And Jesus comes to give us life and a more abundant life. So there's something. In Ezekiel, we see the water first at the ankle high, then we have the knee high, then to the right, to our waist, then it become a river. And here also talk about this, it will become a berry, and a river of living water come out from inside. So the Holy Spirit can come out more and more. He can give us more and more. So that's why we wanted to be filled by the Holy Spirit more and more. When we talk about more and more, I have to think about my granddaughter. She started to eat the solid food. And when her mother feed her not quick enough, she start to make noise, whining. But the mother will teach her, no, if you whining, make this impatient voice, I will not feed you. Try this, which means give me more, give me more. So now every time I go feed her, if I'm too slow, he will show that, she will show that. Which means she wanted more, more. So I just quickly feed her. The same thing, we can receive more and more from God. That's what His promise is. He wanted to fill us more and more, to overflow. And here, I think I also wanted to refer to John Stott, because when he talked about this verse, he also say he saw a different translation. These four verbs, they are present continuous tense, which means when you are thirst, you are thirsting, then what? We come to me. To whom? To Jesus. We are coming to Jesus. Then what? Then we are drink. We are drinking. Then what? Believe. Believing. Which means this is the way to make the river of the living water come out from us. If we continuously have this thirst in us, continuously we come to Jesus Himself, continuously we drink, we take, or receive, and continuously we believe that He will fill us to overflow. And this can happen every time, every place. We don't have to be in a special meetings, but that helps too, definitely. But in our daily life, everyday life, we can have this attitude before God. But I always feel that the thirst and hunger God gives to a person is the greatest blessing we can receive. When we have this thirst and hunger for Himself, we'll receive more and more of Himself. As long as this hunger and thirst stops, sometimes I feel that His blessing stops. Just like in the old time, Elijah's case, when the vessels, we don't have any more vessels, the oil stopped. As long as we bring the empty vessel to Him with hunger, with a desire of more, He will continuously fill us. Maybe we don't feel any difference right now, but we do believe by His promise, He will fill us sometime to overflow. And that's what our life, we wanted to be filled by the Holy Spirit continuously. And that's what the Bible told us to do. So that's what the 2 points I'd like to share this morning, 2 thoughts. One, try to obey His commandments, which means we want to obey Him. Second, we wanted to be filled continuously by the Holy Spirit. With those two, I think we can live out a fruit-bearing life. It's not something that we work to get it. We already have the source within. Christ is already in. The Holy Spirit is already here. But sometimes we just need to be cooperative with God's way. By a simple submission, a simple obedience, we can enter into this abiding life. So as long as we can stay abide in Him, the fruit will come out. So if we obey Christ, we will come out with Christ's life. We obey the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will come out. Last few weeks, I don't remember when I was, one of the Sunday, I challenged our congregation. I said, are we ready to open our church to this world and invite the world to come to church and see that God is in our midst? Can they come to see you, to see me, to see my marriage, to see our home, to see our co-workers, to see the church? We just open our church to the world. When they come in, can they see God in us? can they meet God? If not, we are not glorifying Himself. We needed to glorify Him by the fruits, by what we live. And the one simple way is continuously be filled by Himself, by the Holy Spirit. Continuously in small things, we obey His commandments, obey Him. With those simple steps we do by faith, I think He will create the fruit out through us. We cannot do anything. Without Him, we can do nothing. But as long as we want to go the way the Bible teaches us, I'm sure one day we can have a constant abiding life and also bearing fruit to glorify God, not only in my life, in your life, also in our church as a whole. Because church is God's heart. And we want God to have His glory through us. And God will bless us too. So let us enter in. I always feel that what a blessing for us in this age that we can have such a communion, a union with God Himself. And God wants to live out through us. Want the people to see us, they can see the Christ. God wanted to show Himself to this world by our lives, that when people see us, they can see God. And that's what God's purpose or will for each one of us. Live an abiding, fruit-bearing life, that when we bear much fruit, it will glorify God. So we thank the Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless. Oh.